Well, Dick Essex is a professor emeritus of public policy administration at Northern Illinois University, where he taught courses on public program evaluation, statistics, and land use policy. He's published the results of more than 50 studies, including 14 on farmland protection issues. Since 2001, it's been our pleasure to host Dr. Essex as a visiting scholar here at the Center for Great Plains Studies. During his time at the center, he directed three studies funded by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Dick earned his bachelor's degree from Oberlin College and a master's and PhD in political science from Harvard University. Dick, his wife Molly, and two daughters reside in Lincoln. He's also a member of the Lincoln-Lancaster County Planning Commission. The title of his presentation is What Kinds of Farms and Ranches Can Survive in Urbanizing Areas? A very timely topic. Dick?
Basic problem. A third of the total value of agricultural products produced in this country are raised in metro area counties, like ours, like ones that you'll see in a list of the counties which we studied. What do we do about the agricultural capabilities still residing in these counties? We could take a purely market approach, let the market decide. Or we could say maybe there are public policies, either implemented by public agencies or by non-for-profits, that can sustain at least parts of these agricultural production capabilities. Let me see, I think we'll have to get rid of this little thing here. This was a project funded by USDA's Cooperative Extension Research, State Research Education and Extension Service, under which programs like Cooperative Extension here come. This was a project which we cooked up. We entered it into a competitive grant program and won the grant. It began in late 04 and must be finished by next summer. Here are the counties that we're studying. They're all metro area counties. King County in Washington, where Seattle is. Sonoma County, north of San Francisco. Ventura, northwest of Los Angeles. Larimer, that's where Fort Collins is. Our own county. Dakota County, Minnesota, just south of the Twin Cities. Dane County, home of the state capital of Madison and Wisconsin. DeKalb, west of Chicago. Madison County, Ohio, west of Columbus. Fayette County, Kentucky, that's where Lexington is. Palm Beach County, that's where West Palm Beach is. And of course, beautiful oceanscapes. Here's Carroll County, northwest of Baltimore. Berks, northwest of Philadelphia. Burlington, east of Philadelphia. Orange County, northwest of New York. Here are the four criteria we used when selecting these counties. They had to already be influenced by urbanization, either by having a large population of their own or being within easy commuting distance of large population centers. Their populations continue to grow. You know, some metro areas, they're not growing. They just simply aren't growing. But the ones we selected, all 15 are, they still retain a sizable ag sector, at least $50 million, and local governments and or private organizations were making significant efforts to help agriculture survive there. Look at the population growth here. Lancaster's estimated population, 267,000. Growth in the 90s, 17.2%. Growth from 2000 to about April 2006, 6.7. Not as fast, but still significant. And also we have in the other Corn Belt counties pattern of growth. Where do these people go when they move to these urbanizing but still agriculturally important counties? Well, sometimes they're right next to the fields. This is a wheat field in Yuma, Arizona. Probably these townhouses were built on the wheat field, but not the whole wheat field, and there's still farming right next to it. Whoops. They also go out into what we call here acreages. That is 3, 5, 10, maybe 20 acre parcels located many miles from a city or a village. And you can see them here. See this group? These would be acreages. This could still be a farmhouse. It's not clear. There are more acreages here. And this is located northwest of Lincoln. I was taking a plane from Denver to the Lincoln Airport. Now, a lot of these pictures are mine, but I don't want you to get the impression that your tax money was used to allow me to travel hither and there and take pictures. These were all pictures that we took, my wife and I, on various trips. She goes to HARP conferences, I go to other conferences. And fortunately, our 15 counties were scattered around the country sufficiently that we could usually find one within 100 or 200 miles of our destination. Okay, they're still agriculturally important. And here you see in Lancaster County, between the 87 ag census done by the government and that in 2002, the overall market value of ag products sold increased 28%. In Dane County, Wisconsin, 33, 22, 8% there. Acres and farm. This is a very sizable amount of land, and it comes up to 701 square miles. So 448,600 acres and farms, 701 square miles. There's a lot of land out there. The total percent of the county that's still in farms, 83.6. 67% here, 88.5, and so forth. If you're interested in these numbers, at the back of the room you'll find a complete set of slides which you can peruse as you wish. Okay. What are the important crops here in Lancaster County? Sale of grains went up very considerably in this 15-year period. Cattle and calves went down. Poultry and eggs went up. Hogs and pigs went down in value of sales. Dairy products went up. Nursery and related products went up. So agriculture is still alive here. Now, the question is, why should we be concerned about sustaining agriculture? I'm not advocating no development. In fact, I'm on the Planning Commission here, and I've signed off on further development. One beautiful thing about development here in Lancaster County, it tends to be incremental. It tends to go out from Lincoln in stages, which leaves a lot of open land for farming. Why say farming? It provides employment. This is a large marketing facility on 84th Street near Cornhusker. And here's a semi-truck returning from the grain elevator probably to his farm to pick up more grain and then come back again and deposit it here. So you have these large agribusiness facilities providing employment. And you also have here an individual ag equipment repair person working in Burlington County, east of Philadelphia. The John Deere dealership closed down. He was a repair person there. He set up his own business. So there's a sizable number of people in these communities who still get their income from agriculture, the farmers among others. And one beauty of having the ag sector still viable is that if other sectors are depressed, the ag sector might be doing well. So it tends to be useful to have a variety, a diversity of sectors, including the ag sector. Another advantage of retaining a viable ag sector, attractive scenery. Some ag land looks great. I must say, Molly and Elizabeth and I spent most of our lives in DeKalb, Illinois. This may bother Mike DeKalb since he has that last name. Very flat, not too much scenery. But here in Lancaster and here in Berks County, Pennsylvania, it can look beautiful. Now, some communities even spent a lot of money buying the development rights to these farms. Hill farms here, flatland farms there. the development, oh good, here's some water. Development rights tend to be defined by zoning. And in this particular part of Pennsylvania, if you have 20 acres, you can qualify for a new building permit, a new home. So this farm is 120 acres in addition to the farmstead. The farmer could carve out 6 lots and sell them at a very nice price, maybe $10,000 per. He can also get from the county, using county, federal, and state money, $2,500 per acre if he sells his development rights. 2,500 times 120 acres, I believe, is, I forgot it over here, but it's $300,000, I believe. That's a good deal of money. He does it voluntarily. He or she can no longer build on the land. He or she can farm the land. And a lot of farmers on the East Coast and West Coast have done this. They've sold their development rights. The advantage to the community is you retain that ag production capability, and you've got some beautiful landscape to look at as you drive to and from work or wherever you're going. Now, here's a similar program in Burlington County, New Jersey. It's flat land. That whole area is kind of flat. It's an ocean, beside the ocean plain. But those folks have recently, just last year, approved another bond issue to fund this type of program. They want to keep their open space, and they like working agricultural landscape. Now, here are some of the totals that they've spent. Berks County, 77.5 square miles that are preserved under their development rights purchase program. Carroll County, Maryland, northwest of Baltimore, 69.5. Burlington County, east of Philadelphia, 39.7. Sonoma County, California, 62.9 square miles. They've spent a lot of money. Now, one of the issues that they're asking us, is it worth it? And we will talk about that. Another value to retaining, a third type of benefit, social benefit from retaining your agricultural capability, and that is you encourage local farm, local food farming whose products are sold at a local farmer's market, and the growing of which can be directly viewed by customers who visit the nearby farms. This is Gwen Bedient, who works here at the Center for Great Plains Studies. The farmer is John Seward, who was a grad student for 2 years in this project and is now a planner working on farmland preservation in the eastern Maryland area. Gwen likes to buy there. My wife and daughters go there every Saturday. They like the food. It's fresh. It's fun. It's supporting these young farmers and middle-aged farmers. Here is a food farm located in western Maryland. They sell specialty vegetables to restaurants in D.C. and Baltimore. They have what's called a CSA, that whereby patrons subscribe to get fresh vegetables during a rather long growing season in that part of the country. They get it every week. And if people want to trust their food, the food that they eat, they can visit the farm, look at what's going on, and have a greater sense of buy-in, you might say. They know the people who purchase, who produce it. They can see it being produced. They feel that they're doing something worthwhile for their families and also for the farmers. A fourth type of benefit, agritourism. This is the Roca Berry Farm south of Lincoln. My granddaughter has had both of her birthday parties here. This was a Saturday afternoon. Lots of other people were there. This is a hayride. There's a big pumpkin patch over here. And to the right, for where I was standing, a lot of corn acres being harvested. A mix of agriculture, grain, and tourism. You know, it's fun. And it can be done on farms because a lot of Americans are interested in farms and would just as soon recreate there. Then here's the B&B, bed and breakfast. This is in Sonoma County, California. This part of the house looks out onto a garden And then beyond that is just acres and acres of wine grapes being grown. And on the other side, you get a beautiful view of a wooded hill. However, if the farmer or the farmland owner, and sometimes the owners are farmers and sometimes they aren't, wants to sell and there's a willing buyer, and these various contributions to the welfare of the community can be lost. And we did a survey in 2006, either winter or summer, depending upon the county, of farmland owners. This was a random sample. And we asked them, given all the ag land you own in Lancaster or Sonoma or what county, about how much of it, if any, do you expect to be in some developed use 10 years from now? Lancaster, 24%. Dane, 45%, saying zero. DeKalb, 51%. Madison County, Ohio, 60%. And then some percent, 51, 36, 31, 26. Lancaster sticks out in the sense that, you know, about half of the 157 owners said, I'm going to develop. I expect to develop. Now, there are reasons for that, but, you know, the costs include some diminution of the benefits, the four types of benefits I discussed earlier. For the farmland owner, this can be a wonderful financial boon. This stuff can sell for $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 an acre. He can take the money and move elsewhere and farm more land. I don't blame farmers for selling, but there are still ways to keep agriculture viable if a lot of folks want to sell out. This is the same question, but I've got all 15 counties here. And look at the spikes. Lancaster was one spike, with more than half of them saying they were going to develop some of their land. But look at this one, Palm Beach. You'd expect a lot of farmland owners there would want to sell out. Beautiful landscape. The ocean is right there. But look at Larimer. That's where Fort Collins is. That's where, you know, the Rocky Mountain National Park begins. Why do they want to sell out? Fort Collins was voted last year by Money Magazine the most attractive place in the country to live. That's very bad for farming. That's very bad for open space, unless Teddy Roosevelt got there 100 years ago to set it aside in national parks. Also, there's not enough rainwater. Their annual rainfall is terribly low. There's not enough water both for farming and the growing urban population. So things look really bad. I went and talked last July to some of their leaders, and they were not at all optimistic. But some counties do better. Sonoma, Ventura, King. All three of them have strong zoning to protect farmland by just saying, grow out from the cities. Don't scatter subdivisions in the rural land. Grow out from the cities. And this seems to keep some, if not most of the owners, you know, here was 30%, 28, from believing they can sell out or should sell out in 10 years. Fayette also has strong zoning, but they have absolutely beautiful horse country, and a lot of people just don't want to lose that. Orange, a lot of development pressures there. I was told that after 9/11, a lot of well-to-do people said, I'm leaving Manhattan. This is too much of a target. So there was more of an exodus, whereas for years, people were moving back into the city. But 9/11 may have discouraged that trend. Now, over here, Madison County, west of Columbus, it bumps up to Franklin County, where Columbus is. As you may know, Columbus is doing very well. It's not a Rust Belt city. It's doing very well. It's in Ohio, where there are other Rust Belt cities, but Columbus is doing well. But Madison County is not getting much development. The soils are not good for rural homes. Rural homes tend to need septic systems, We don't like to talk about those things in polite company, but they're a real boon to agriculture if you want to stay. They're a real problem, wet soils, if you want to leave and sell out. They simply can't put enough homes for it to be a serious threat. This rural development threat is not that serious in this county because the Lord made the land very flat and the water table quite high. Now, this year, when we asked, if we asked people now here in Lancaster whether they expected to develop in 10 years, the percentages might be lower. Rather than 51%, it could be 41, 31. We don't know. Grain prices are better, milk prices are better, and the real estate market's not so good. So you can't put too much stock into the percentages you get from any one poll, just like, you know, all the polls we'll see between now and next year for the presidential election. So that's why we academics tend to look at relationships. And I wanted to know what made people want to decide to sell. Conversely, what made them less likely to sell? Well, if they owned at least the median number of ag acres in Lancaster County, 156, they were more likely to think they can develop. Because the more parcels you have, the more likely you're going to have one that's close enough to a road or to the city, or it has enough groundwater so you can have a decent well. So the more land you have, the more likely some of it's going to be developable. If you have a family member working on the farm, you're more likely to have said you're going to develop, 57% versus 32. I'm not sure what's working here. Any idea? You've got a family member working on the farm. So you're more likely to develop at least some of the farm. Any thoughts? Maybe enough income for two families. Excellent point. Also, maybe you want to carve out a parcel for him or her to build a house. I think that's a possibility. If you have at least two kinds of ag products, like grains and dairy, you're less likely to want to develop. It may simply be that you have a better enterprise, providing more income. I'm not sure. But these relationships are fascinating because they'll probably be here this year, next year, and the year afterwards, the type of relationship. Sort of like the relationship between heart disease and if you eat well. You know, you're likely to find that relationship persist. So these are four factors which we've identified so far, but this is just for one of the counties. Now, here is a factor that's found in a large number of counties. That is owner traits in several studied counties that apparently shaped expectations about developing their ag land in the county over the next 10 years. Perceptions of conflicts with non-farmer neighbors. This turned out in our study to be a very important set of causal factors. Look at this. This is a 17-acre vegetable farm, and these are homes. What do you suppose the problems are when you juxtapose homes and a vegetable farm? A vegetable farm needs fertilizer. Fertilizer can smell. A vegetable farm may need pesticides, and people don't want pesticides, you know, let's say, in the air coming towards them. This particular farm required five Hispanic workers. Vegetables require handwork, don't they, for cultivating and certainly for picking, planting, cultivating, picking. In this part of the world, this is Sonoma, California. There, you know, this is a culturally diverse part of the world. Nevertheless, these folks weren't that happy to have five Hispanics next door to them out in the fields many days of the year. And on top of that, behind where I was standing, there was a farm stand, and they weren't so happy to have the traffic going to and from the farm stand buying goods. So neighbors tend to make it difficult for farmers. And those folks who said, They believe that local governments tended to side with non-farmers in these conflicts were more likely to develop Sonoma, Madison, Sonoma County. I'm sorry, DeKalb, Madison, Sonoma. If they found that such governments were even-handed in their relation and dealing with these conflicts, the owners were less likely to develop. Does that make sense? Otherwise, their perceptions of how their local governments dealt with these conflicts affected their expectations about developing. Other things held equal. Otherwise, it's like in medicine, medical experiments. Other things held equal, if you walk 30 minutes a day, you'll live longer. Does that make sense? Now, other things can affect it too, you know, what you eat, the medication you take, but other things being equal, how local governments deal with these conflicts makes a difference in the willingness of farmland owners to stick it out. If there's been a change for the worse in farming their land due to non-farmers, that is, for example, this fellow, let's say, had a drop using pesticides altogether, they were more likely to develop, if no change, less likely Carroll and Ventura. We'll come back to this set of causal variables. Now, another set of variables which determined whether, or shaped whether, farmland owners were willing to stick it out was their perceptions of the effectiveness of public policies. Right to farm legislation for protecting farmers from these unfair nuisance complaints. This was an important variable in two counties. Local government zoning to slow the conversion of ag land. Dakota and Minnesota, Dane and Wisconsin, King and Washington, and so forth. Public purchase of development rights. This is Dakota County, southwest of Minneapolis. Here is a protected farmland. In 2003, the voters approved a bond issue of $20 million in 2003, aimed to protect 5 to 10,000 acres of farmland and other open space. So what we're saying here, if you've got good programs, right to farm, local government zoning, public purchase of development rights, property tax assessments of ag land based on ag use rather than real estate market value, people are less likely to want to develop. Otherwise, local government makes a difference. Now, here's another indicator. The percent of current operators expecting to be farming in the county 10 years from now. Now, we divided it into those who were all operators and those who were less than 55, because if they were more than 55 in 10 years from now, it's time to stop farming. But this bar, the maroon bar, those who are less than 55, at least at the time of the survey. In Lancaster County, 74% said they expected to be farming in the county 10 years from now. But what about the other 26%? They weren't, you know, ready to retire. Where are they going? They could be going to the next county. Sell out here, take the money, move elsewhere where it's easier. I met one farmer. He sold his land in Burlington County. He sold the development rights to his Burlington County farm east of Philadelphia. And they moved the cow herd to Iowa. Can you imagine doing that, moving a sizable cow herd by truck to Iowa? Why did they go to Iowa? In the middle of Iowa, they could buy much more land, right? And they didn't have any neighbors. They could farm. It was a young man, the fellow's grandson, and also his son. They wanted the freedom to farm. So they went to Iowa after the public bought the rights to develop. And now it's probably going to be a less intensive ag use. Okay, again, look at these. These are all 15 counties. Look at the ones that stick out. King does well, 68. Sonoma does very well. Carroll in Maryland does well. Lancaster, relatively well, though Dane is better. This is interesting, Sonoma. Their wine has a very good reputation. So they can get per ton, a lot of bucks for their wine. They get so much money from their wine grapes, they can thumb their noses at the developers because they do better in wine than they would in houses. Does that make sense? Once farming, you can get one of these high-value crops, so you earn more from ag than you can from housing. There's no incentive to move unless you're lazy, don't want to farm, too old, what have you. You can always sell it to some other farmer. So this is a very good example of where ag rules, ag reigns supreme because of grapes, wine grapes. Now, this is another one of these efforts to figure out why people in Lancaster County who own farmland want to stay. Actually, this is among operators. We limited this to operators. They were more likely to stay for at least 10 years, 52% versus 24%, if they had a sufficient supply of family labor. What does that mean, you suppose? Family labor. We talked to one farmer. He's a grain farmer, has more than 1,500 acres, and he and his dad do everything. But he needed his dad, didn't he? He couldn't do it by himself. But he and his dad here in Lincoln and Lancaster County did everything. So grain farmers, I think, depend to a large extent on family labor. And those people who have it are more likely to stay. Those who don't are looking for ways out. Found their markets for their land's products to be satisfactory. That makes sense. If they were satisfied, more likely to stay 10 years, 52% versus 35%. Have been an operator at least 20 years, less likely they may be getting tired. And I'm not sure what this means. Maybe we can figure it out. In 8 of the other counties, a very important factor for whether an operator said he would stay at least 10 years or she would stay at least 10 years is if when they were to retire from farming or ranching, a son, daughter, grandson, or granddaughter will likely operate the land you own in the county. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. This is a father-daughter combination in Sonoma County, California. She is going to stay. She's going to farm. He is delighted. She took part in a group called FarmLink, and they helped her develop a farm plan for the land. She's delighted. He's happy. So if one of your closest relatives is going to farm your land, what a wonderful incentive to stay. A lot of farm families no longer have these enormous numbers of children. And also, I'm sorry to say, a lot of farmers trash farming. Does that make sense? It just isn't all that attractive. They work so hard. And I don't know how to overcome that except to be able to say that both she and he can earn a good living and she can have her independence, he has his independence. They're working together in this beautiful landscape. They have independence. Now, there are various ways of making farming sound very attractive, but I'm afraid a lot of farmers are into a habit of bad-mouthing farming. Now, another problem, labor. Those who had sufficient seasonal labor for his or her farm were more likely to stay 10 years. Sufficient year-round labor, DeKalb, family labor, Lancaster, Madison. If they use non-family labor, Berks, used year-round. These are workers. This is a picture from North Carolina. And we're in a crisis now regarding agricultural labor. I think it is fair to say, let me see, 85% nationwide of hired agricultural crop workers are foreign-born. Now, that population, 90% are from Latin America. And a lot of them are undocumented, and there's a real crisis now as to whether we'll have enough field labor. I must say, in the counties I've checked so far this year, there's not been a crisis, but they say next door there's a crisis. To me, it would be lovely if the Congress and the President could get together and decide on how to give us an adequate supply of farm workers. Too many U.S. citizens don't want to farm, particularly in urbanizing counties. Why not? How else can they earn their summer pay? Where it's air-conditioned and where the hours are regular, like 8 to 5, McDonald's. The trouble with urbanization in terms of farm labor is it gives these alternatives. Now, on the other side of it is for the operator himself or herself, it provides an opportunity to get off-farm jobs. And many, many, I think I have it here someplace, many, many people work off-farm. Yeah, it'll come later. And that provides them with health benefits and so forth. But the other part of the coin is there's not enough young people willing to work. Now, thinking ahead, this is the third indicator of farm viability. Thinking ahead 20 years, what kind of future do you see for agriculture in this county? Oh, my goodness. Bright, modest, dim, none at all. 4% in Lancaster's study was bright. 4% of our 157 respondents. 38% said modest, 42%. Look at over here in Madison. Not too much difference here, but a big difference here. This is not encouraging. They don't see a decent future in 20 years down the lane. They're perhaps unlikely to recommend it to their children. And here we have all 15. Sonoma looks great because of wine. Madison looks great because grain farming is very good there. They're pretty close to the Ohio River. They can truck their grain down to the river and get decent prices. They've got a pretty good selection of elevators. Those farmers were optimistic. Look at the percentages here. Not so good in Lancaster. Just these two stick out. And unless I think we can change people's expectations of the future, we'll lose a lot of good farmers to other parts of the country. Now, again, the traits that relate to their expectations about the future, perceptions of conflicts with non-farmer neighbors. I think I'm going to go through a few of these fairly quickly, and you could read these slides from the handouts that are in the back. Perceptions of effectiveness of public policies. One set, local government zoning to slow the growth of ag land. This was important. If they felt that this government policy was effective in Berks, DeKalb, Fayette, King, Palm Beach, Ventura, they were more likely to be positive. This is the city of Lexington and its environments in Kentucky. And out here, no rural subdivisions, and you got to have at least 40 acres to get a building permit. They're very serious about it. It works. The landscape is lovely, and the farmers support it. See, if farmers don't support zoning, it's not going to work. But where Molly and Elizabeth, Molly and I spent most of our lives, and my daughter lived until she went to college, the farmers there support it. I'm a Farm Bureau member. We support ag zoning to limit agriculture because farming can be so good if you don't have difficult neighbors. So rural subdivisions were not encouraged. In fact, they were pretty much discouraged. Now, where can we put farming when the pressures get so great that, we're running out of upland, we're running out of good land? The good land has been used for residential use. And quite frankly, in Lincoln-Lancaster County, we expect over the years, maybe by 2050, most of the county will have homes. And we think it'll be well-designed, well-planned development with roads and water lines and sewer lines. This is such a fine place to live, it's going to expand. But most counties have some areas that should not be developed. This is an area in Orange County, New York, at night, just an hour from New York City. During the daytime, it takes longer. An old swamp, a glacial swamp, 12,000 acres. It was drained in the years before we had federal legislation against draining. It's great for vegetables, sod, and other things, but you can't build a house on it. Can you imagine that? You can't build a house on it. It will not hold the weight. The house sinks. You can't put septic fields. They don't anticipate developing it. They don't know how to develop it. Now, this is Lancaster County. This is in the 100-year floodplain. This is off 84th, opposite that Archer Daniel Midlands elevator that I showed you earlier. You shouldn't put houses there. It's in the floodplain. You might put some houses over here, and then you have to dig a nice area for compensatory water storage. But you don't want to build houses here. That messes up people either downstream or upstream. We have 24,000 acres. Now, some of it maybe is not good for farming, but I bet you most of it is. So I think we have a reserve in the floodplain that could be used for agriculture for many years. Now, zoning. Zoning until the land is ready to be annexed. This is DeKalb County. And Google World, that's what it's called, isn't it, Elizabeth? Google World is wonderful. You can get a picture of your own backyard. Try it sometime. This is a picture of DeKalb. See how there's a city here, Sycamore, a city here, DeKalb, and there's not much development around it. That's because the county government, backed by the Farm Bureau in the 1970s, said no more rural subdivisions. They're a pain. And it's worked. And recently I took a flight from Midway to Omaha. I didn't have my camera, unfortunately. And sure enough, that's the way it looked. Now, we weren't up that high. We were quite low. But it looked that way. They've really been loyal to the principle, no rural subdivisions. But what's happening here? These things are developing. Why would the farmers accept such draconian zoning? They were told, eventually, these areas will grow out to you, and you or your heirs will cash in. But in the meantime, enjoy the freedom to farm when you don't have rural subdivisions. And they bought it, and they bought it to this day. And more than half of the ag owners from DeKalb who we surveyed supported this zoning program still. Now, in the few minutes left for me, I want to go through five types of ag enterprises that might work in urbanizing counties. One is a no-brainer, grapes, wine grapes. They can out-compete housing because you get so much money per acre, per year. Does that make sense? Another criterion, can you attract sufficient number of capable farm operators or managers? Get a little water here. They can earn enough money from grapes to pay the salaries of capable managers. I looked online last night, and managers in Sonoma County were averaging $91,000 a year. Now, things are expensive in Sonoma County, California, but still, that's a good salary. So that is one way to solve the problem of insufficient farmers coming from the current generation of farm families. Needs for hand labor. Apparently, good grapes have to be harvested by hand. Bad grapes, you can use machines, but good grapes, you need to do it by hand. That's a problem. We have to secure enough labor, hand labor, for these farmers. Potential conflict with non-farmer neighbors, it can be low. I'm not sure. I think people like to think there's a wine business next door. It's kind of fancy. I'm not sure. Market outlet prices look very good, depending upon the type of wine, its reputation. Another sustainable ag enterprise in the urban edge, vegetables and fruits for direct marketing. The total land needed may be modest enough to locate on upland remnant parcels or small floodplain fields. A remnant parcel is in a funny part of the county, a little too far from a road, maybe a little too wet for houses. It could be sufficient for a nice vegetable operation and enough groundwater. Groundwater is very important because vegetables need irrigation. But the production and marketing skills are substantial. This is Lisa Zuki, she and her boyfriend, John Seward, who worked for us here, produce a large variety of vegetables. What's the problem when you produce a large variety of anything? Anybody do vegetables? Beg your pardon? Could become ripe at the same time, labor problems. And the technology needed to produce them can vary greatly. So you've got to master a lot of different technologies. Hand labor is uncertain. You know, how many girlfriends can you dragoon into helping you? Dragoon. Conflicts with neighbors can be very high, and they steal your stuff. That's not very nice. Market outlook. Consumers need to pay premium prices. You can get the same thing, it looks almost the same, organic from Walmart, cheaper. So there's got to be a willingness for the community to support the direct marketers of local produce. Does that make sense? I was talking to a fellow in Maryland a week ago Friday, and he said, our community doesn't support farmers' markets. Our people are on the road all the time. They work down in the district. They come up an hour and a half. They come home. On the weekend, they don't have time to go to the farmers' market. 6 farmers' markets in this county, which I visited, failed. That's really bad. And the 7th one is not very healthy. Lincoln, in contrast, since so many of us don't have to go that far to work, we've got much more of a sense of community here. So the farmers' markets here may really flourish. And that'll keep people like Miss Lisa working. She wants to do it, but she needs to have your assistance. Now, the models that I'm showing about sustainable ag enterprises have to be more elaborate, and I will do that. One has to do with, got to have hand labor at very specific times. Here's the owner. He and his sister run the farm. But see, each of those things has to be filled by hand. And then he needs irrigation. He got a grant from the county to drill the well. This property didn't have a well. He's got to have a well, a good well. Another sustainable ag enterprise, agritourism. This is the Rocaberry Farm. This successful farm of this nature can resist development and may be able to afford to buy adjoining land. Can it attract sufficient numbers of capable farm operators or managers? High overall sales allow capable family members to stay on the farm. Hand labor, good revenue may permit good wages. Potential for conflict with non-farmer neighbors can be high, including complaints over customer traffic. Market outlook can be good as long as the supply is not excessive, so the supply of these things. Here's one in New Jersey, petting zoo, farm fields over there. These guys have really worked it out. They have a mailing list of 700 school teachers. They send it out every year, and they get 30,000 school kids a year to tour the farm at $7 a kid. And the two brothers who run it have 7 children to help with the farm. That's also smart, isn't it? But there's enough money to be made in these diversified businesses to keep the family together. I talked to somebody else in the same county, and they were delighted. They were ecstatic. All the family was working together. This was a traditional Italian family. They were working together. It was so gratifying to them. Does that make sense? That a farm family where almost everybody can earn a good living is different from a farm family like the one that we interviewed last year, where the guy had to tell his kid, you can't stay. In my wife's case, her great-grandfather had 6 sons, and he brought 4 in it one day and said, you can't stay. Here's $1,000, go to Newark and start a new career. I mean, that can happen, can't it? There just isn't enough money to be made. But these folks have worked it out. Okay, equine operations. You can succeed on relatively little land, which is good in urbanizing areas. Will you attract sufficient numbers of capable operators or managers? Love of horses and potential for reasonably good income may attract operators. Able to meet needs for hand labor, this is uncertain. Potential for conflict with non-farmer neighbors can be low if operation is classy. Does that make sense? It just looks nice. Market outlook, good as long as supply is not excessive. But what's happening in these urbanizing areas, more and more people want to ride horses. There was a poll, 30% of Americans use at least a horse once a year. It's a lot of fun. So this is one benefit. You can actually benefit if you're a farmer from urbanization. But you've got to know what you're doing, of course, because horses can be very demanding. Okay, the last one, grain farming. And I would love to get some feedback on this. I think grain farming is a good transitional use of the land. And if we've got a real pause now in farming and housing development, grain farming is good because you can succeed on floodplain land on either owned or leased parcels. Some of these urbanizing counties, the leases aren't that high. The rents are good. The time requirements for grain farming may allow the operator to hold down a good off-farm job. In the 2002 census, the average principal operator worked off-farm 95 days. That's 4 months plus. Labor needs aren't so bad because grain farming is highly mechanized. Potential for conflict with non-farmer neighbors, not so bad, since you're not in any one field that many days. But it all depends on market outlook and federal government price supports. Right now, it looks pretty good. Dairy farming is doing pretty well in our counties, but the amount of land you use depends upon whether you graze or grow your own fur feed. The time requirements for dairy are terrible. I didn't realize some cows are milked 3 times a day. I thought it was just twice a day. Good gracious. Hand labor needs, that's uncertain. Problem of conflict with neighbors. A lot of cities, as well as the states, are very harsh about manure disposal. You've got to be careful about how you dispose the manure. Milk prices are better now, but it fluctuates. Last slide. We asked these folks, 157 in Lancaster, over the next 20 years, what should interested citizens do about the viability of farming in this county? Very few said, do nothing. Let private market forces prevail. A total of 67% here, 79% there, said do something. And it's scattered across, protect the land, help the farmers to farm more profitably, and some combination. So when given a chance to accept this very reasonable option, do nothing, let private market forces guide things, very few people selected that. Most people want something to be done.